I'm glad to see you out this morning to service. Got a few little things I'd like to comment on. Bruised for our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, by his stripes we're healed. So, we know then that we just come through Palm Sunday of the great entrance that the prophet spoke of, where the Lord would enter into Jerusalem through the eastern gates. And coming your king cometh unto you meek and lowly on the foal of an ass. And that a borrowed one. So he didn't come on the white horse. He came on a little donkey, and which is a burden bearer, to let us know that he came to bear our burdens. And you know, a little donkey, he seems to be able to bear burdens that it just looks to me like it's two or three times too much for him. But anyway, somehow the Lord made it symbolic. And coming as the little donkey, it indicated in the form of a servant. For in the Old Testament, if an ass was contrary, they had to break his neck. Which indicates also as to that is the form of the servant, or as to the serpent, as to Judas, the betrayer, which hang himself, as to the breaking of the neck. And the Lord came in the form of the servant because they are called a generation of vipers. As to the fall of Adam, the first man Adam, and the Bible said that God put the serpent on his belly because it was the serpent that betrayed or caused the betrayal and then entered into Eve and took control of Adam. How the woman showing the weakness of the flesh and we being the feminine part while the spirit is in the masculine. So we know that he went to Calvary to do away with the old serpent or the beast. And science traces your origin back to the beast. You're on your belly. All of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it of you. Your mouth and your belly craves it of you. So he called it a generation of vipers. And when Jesus was angry, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell, ye generation of vipers, seeing that you do the things that you see your father do? And he said to them, he said, and ye are of your father the devil, and his will you will do. Because they accused him of having an unclean spirit, and it really upset him. And he warned them, all manners of blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men, except he that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, and he that speaketh the word against the Holy Ghost, it shall never be forgiven him in this world or the world to come. Christ is so precious. What he hath done in our behalf, and the sufferings is going through the flames of hell, was so great that the Heavenly Father will not forgive, not even one word spoken against him. So we see it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We understand how fearful it is and how that we tread where angels fear to walk. And we just kind of hobnob around being careless, especially this generation, which is called a sinful and an adulterous generation, that say that they're worshipers of the devil, and they put it on their shirts, and they have all these things of saying, I'm a freak, and thankful dead, all these kind of things. You know, and this is a terrible generation. It is the ending of all things. Well, anyway, as I was saying, Jesus came in the form of these things, and he came in a manger so that he could make sure his friends. Solomon said, as the Spirit spoke to him, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. For he that hath money and wealth, he hath many friends. But when you don't have anything, you don't have too many friends. So Jesus came very humbly, born in a manger, and he came in a humble, poor way to see who would receive him, who would love him, who would care for him. And the Bible said that the common people heard him gladly. So he then said, will the rich have their consolation? How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom? It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. So then there is a people in the world that God has suffered to be poor and common. And then there's a people in the world he suffered to be great and mighty and rich. And he did this differentiating between them that he might take the common into glory, in that they hear him gladly, and give the rich as to the bonds children of this world, being in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, to the riches and all these things that they're in bondage to, that they might be turned into the lake of fire. Not that all rich people go to hell, nor does all common people go to heaven. But this is the way it's set up, that the last should be first and the first shall be last. So the proud and haughty in that day, they rejected him because he made an open show of them and triumphed over them. Now, I'm just saying a few little words here before I get to the scripture. And in this, Jesus coming and was led up to the land of Judah, which takes in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, going to the land or the little city of his nativity, that he might have a record. It was Joseph and Mary going at the time that she was heavy with child and couldn't find any place in the inn, which is about the time of day now. As to this season, there's no place for Jesus in the world anymore, and especially in America, though it has been a God-fearing nation. And right here at the birth of the man-child, at the that is the change of the body is to the church. And they're so busy with riches and so busy doing their thing, you know, as it was with the Jews, they were so busy in their ritualistics, even their religious ritualistics, as to keeping the tradition of the elders and getting away from the real truths of God, that when the Messiah came, they didn't even recognize him. So, as it is with the people of America today, having their visitation, as to the Jews, they did not recognize the time of the visitation. And it was said unto them, your houses are left unto you desolate, until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so it has been. Their land there, they had to leave. It was driven out. Now it's a spiritual thing. And the Gentiles' house, as to this bodily house, Peter said, as long as I'm in this house or tabernacle, if this house be dissolved, I have another one eternal. The heaven's not made with hand. And now your houses are left unto you desolate, because the days of the Gentiles is over. It's passing away now. And that's why the government has fallen into the things that's happened the way it has happened in America. And that's why you got the leadership that you got and the abaseness of the people and those that have put this kind of thing in office. So, as a matter of fact, I was going through some of these things last night with my wife as it moved on around toward 12 o'clock, because it had a great significance at 12 o'clock. And we were talking after 12 o'clock about these things. But anyway, your houses are being left unto you desolate because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. And that means at the end this year, as a matter of fact, I hear say that there was a problem with Hussein, which we said would rise back up. And that's the Babylon area. And that's right outside of Jerusalem, which has always been the old enemy of Jerusalem. And then I think maybe they fired on our planes and maybe a bomb or two was dropped. I'm not even sure about the authenticity of this, but that's what I heard last night. Well, we are living in the last days. Jesus came very humbly. But the next time he will come on the white horse, he'll come as the rich and the great and the mighty king, as they expected him to come as when he come and confounded them at the first coming. See, so he will be back, Revelation 19, and we will join him on white horses for the battle of blood, as he gathers all nations there to destroy them. And already they're confederating to come against Jerusalem. Everything is just right. And God will let them confederate for this reason, that when he calls for them, They think they're doing it on their own, that they might overthrow Jerusalem and make extinct the royal seed. And Satan doesn't know it. He thinks he's getting control of everybody through the number. And he is working it all down to the numerical order of everything. Tags and license plates and social security number, which we said it would come in under the social security number. And I remind you again how everything has moved around to this. Even the dog tag they used to carry with the number, a military thing. Since the time that we said that. Well, anyway, Satan doesn't know it, but God is allowing the confederation for the purpose that when he calls for them and they go to come in around Jerusalem, all of the armies will come from everywhere at one time, and he will meet them on the white horse. And there he will have them all together at one time, and he will battle till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. And he'll make an end of all of their military strength and their government. And then he'll set up a government with a kingdom that hath no end. So in these few little preludes, I would just want to mention that he allowed Mary and Joseph to come up to Bethlehem at this certain time. The Lord, the preparation of man's heart is from God, and he moved the leaders of that day to do that. It's to Herod and the leaders that they should do this to the great taxon, that there might be a record of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And just prior to this, when Titus come in, 70 AD, plowed the city like a field, a young Roman general, he made the statement, he said, I'm not guilty of this blood. I didn't intend this slaughter. He said, this is the act of God. And during that time, the temple was burned up and all the records were burned up of all of those that could have claimed access to the throne. And God let Titus do that all records would be destroyed. That when the time come to anoint a king that should reign in righteousness, there would be only a record of one that would be heir to the throne, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And sure enough, that's the way it stands today, and the major record of it is the Bible. But anyway, it stands for that. So I said all that to say this, that we're on the verge of a king coming forth to reign in righteousness. Scientists understand that half of them have agreed that at the end of the 7-year period, which is coming up in the beginning of next year, that the earth, which is tilted on its axis and has been through history of mankind, will come up suddenly, upright, on its axis. And when it comes up on its axis, that there will be such an earthquake that it will just tear up all of the world. See, and this is what the Bible speaks of as to the latter part of the tribulation, the last 7 years, that the vial would be poured out. And this vial poured out within the air, which we can already get a little prelude of that, because a little preview of it, because like down in South America or that area, the quarry has struck, and I believe it's in the hundreds of thousands of people that it has struck. And if they don't do something pretty quick within just a couple of days as to when this thing strikes, whatever it is, you know, the fever will kill them. Well, we know just above us here, there are some counties where this plague has struck. It's the spinal meningitis was struck a long time ago. We prayed and God lifted it. We said when it was striking and killing, even in our area, lost some of the people that attended church here. And they died and they couldn't get it stopped. And we prayed and I said, God just moved it. And within 1 to 3 days or 2 days, whatever it was gone just like that. And so, see, it's striking, and all over the world, there's devastation. All over the world, there's problems, just problems. There's earthquakes. There are famines. There's pestilence. There's wars. There's divisions. Everybody's just split up homes, and it's an adulterous generation, one wife and five wives, and just a continual thing. So we know we're living in the last days. Over in the book of Matthew, in the 20th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, he is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, some of you have went to see the place where the Lord lay. I did what the angel said. I went to see the place where the Lord lay. Well, anyway, it says that an angel descended from heaven and sat down on the stone. He rolled the stone away, and then he sat down on the throne and said his garments was as beautiful wool, white, just snowy white. It used the term just snowy white, as we would say. And his countenance was like lightning, and the keepers were so afraid when they saw this that they just fell as dead men or became as dead men. See, and we know that this morning has to do with a great phenomenal thing, because I've been to the tomb, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty. We sing the song, the stone is rolled back, the tomb is empty. And he's at the right hand of the Father, and death has been conquered. So we know then this is a great, phenomenal day. You know, even the things that you do on Easter. Easter having to do with the resurrection. And of course taken from the old paganistic thing of Babylon as to the name Esther. Or from those things back there, but brought forward, God allowed this that it might be brought forward, that these things with mystery Babylon should come from old Babylon to bring about the mystery Babylon. See, and he allowed these things that it would be applied in the natural, because this way everything would be preserved in the natural, in that all of that was symbolic as to a time. But in all reality, it has a great significance, not as to Easter, as to the paganistic practice of the eggs and all these kind of things. And yet there is a significance as to the prize egg and those things, in that eggs relate back to a resurrectional thing. The little chick forming in the shell is like embalmers say that this body is a shell. And on the inside, Peter said, in this tabernacle, speaking of an inward man, he is forming as to a new birth. This inward man is forming that he might break through the shell, and this great light, this heavenly treasure that's within the earthen vessels will break forth from the shell and be made manifest in your mortal genes, even as the light of God when Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his our garment was shining like the light, as well as the end of the church ages, when it was as though the sun shined within his strength, and that the day stars within us, even Christ, that hope of glory that's breaking forth in these mortal genes, even as the wisdom that the Bible speaks of that makes the face to shine, even as the veil that was over Moses' face, whereas the Jews, not being able to see steadfast to the end of that which is abolished, as Paul said, or that is to that covenant, or to that light, or they could not see that light because the veil was between them and the light. And Moses had been in the very presence of God. Which veil, as I refer to a lot of times, having to do with the veil of death, even as the veil that was over Rebekah's faith until she was taken into the secret chambers of Isaac to remove that veil, that her beauty of face expression should be shown, as that was to become the wife of Isaac, being typical of the promised son. And as the veil of death that fell over Eve's mind in the garden, when this intellectual veil came over her spirit, overpowered her spirit, took her away from her husband, and put a division between them two. And ever since then, there has been a middle wall of partition between God, the great spirit, and his body. There has been a middle wall of partition. And it is magnified and emphasized by them that are without, who they are not his body. And they are between the church and God. And Satan is within those people, because the Bible said the child is known according to their doings, or by their doings. And this power of evil stands between God's people and God the great spirit, or the body and the spirit, because they are controlled by the devil, and Satan loves the things that be of the flesh and of the world. And they practice their filth of the flesh and their adulterous doings, and they go after the vain things of the world. Or the Gentiles seek after the things that be of the world. Whereas the Bible said salvation to the Jew, in that Christ Jesus was born to the Jew, and God chose them as a people. So then, this veil of death remains until today. It is the interwoven infiltration within your body, which is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Lust. Sin is in the world by lust. And this is a spirit lust after the things of the world and lust of the flesh. And it's interwoven with your body. See, so it's called a wretched man. Paul said, "O wretched body, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That is the old beast body that you are born in. And folks, there's no way to escape that except you be born again and accept Jesus Christ, his body, as an atonement, a blood atonement, as that that went to Calvary and was killed at Calvary and died out of the presence of the great eternal Father, as he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When you accept this and go by the way of Calvary, then it's like the metamorphosis of the butterfly, and all of a sudden you come out of the worm, in that the Bible speaks of the serpent on his belly, Jacob the worm, and speaks of that which the worm, the locust, the caterpillar has devoured as to the evils of the generations of what they've done in their fleshly way. So when you do that, you escape that and you become a heavenly creature. Then your body in the sight of God is dead, buried in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin. And you're resurrected in the newness of life with Christ. Dead with him by Calvary, buried in the watery grave, lifted again as justification in that it was delivered for your offenses. And all of a sudden you find yourself the body, bone, and flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that God is looking at you and he's made you holy. Though you stumble and stagger while you're trying to do right, you don't practice anything, you don't become habitual, you don't get into a rut of just making confessions as it is with the papacy and that kind of thing. You don't do that. You don't do that. But see, you make your confession, you confess your sins, and you forsake your sins. So then you are the body of the Lord Jesus, and he doesn't see your sin anymore because he took it all away by Jesus. It isn't that you don't make mistakes anymore. It isn't that you don't stumble and stagger anymore, but he does not impute your trespasses unto you, but he imputeth your faith unto you for righteousness, because Jesus is our righteousness and our believing is in him. And when we believe in him, then it makes it one as to our faith and his faith. And our heart becomes purified because we have a confidence that we're holy and godly and pure because of his love. So then his righteousness is accredited unto us, and his spirit that wrought the righteousness of that body of the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our heart, and we're sealed with the spirit of righteousness as to our seal, or to our spirit is to be interwoven, that the evil one touch us not, and we keep ourselves without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish as to the spiritual man, and in that it is translated into Christ, is translated into heaven, and it's taken out of the flesh and out of the body, because the body's killed, it's dead, it's buried, it's gone. And the Bible said, at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave. So then when we look to our performance and look to our righteousness, to look to see who we are, then we look, and at the right hand of the Father, he that overcometh sat down in the throne with him, or he that overcomes shall sit down in the throne with him, to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And there we look, and there we are at the right hand of the heavenly Father, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, being the head of the church, and we being members in particular. Then God sees us through the headship and through the righteousness of God as his precious righteous body, not imputing our trespasses unto us. And that the Bible said, "Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, and blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness, and blessed is the man that God imputeth faith for works." So we know then that this is the resurrection. This is the Easter morning. Now, see, we went up into Marysville, and something happened up there that it would take this morning. If I went into it, it would have to be a present day truth as the Spirit of God unveiling this morning, which it would really take some time, and we won't be able to do that. Just exhorting you along the lines of salvation and resurrection and these kind of things, I'm kind of evasive to those things because it would take so long to get into those things, and so great and so mighty are they. All the way from the triumph entry, all the way down to the Passover, and then over here to the resurrection. And Richard the Jew being like he was, as we spoke of a few nights ago, and then the Jews coming down here, the Jews that have the land across the street over here. And they have the property, and we had tried to purchase it, couldn't purchase it. All of a sudden, I was talking to Ron and some of the brethren down in the basement there. And while we were discussing the drawing for this across the street, as to what it has to do with us, to these trailers that we have, putting them over there and the children being there, which we can't explain it to you this morning, but maybe sometimes we will. We did, some of the brethren, partially. But anyway, as to what it had to do with, and I made a comment about the picture that Pete had drawn about the big building that we would like to have built. And we referred to the Jews in that land as to expectation, because they still haven't sold. And if that's the will of the Lord, then we'll purchase the land across the way. And we brought out a number of things like this to my wife as to last night. And concerning a tree that I believe Brother Larry Allen or someone's cutting down. And concerning a tree that Brother Marsh brought down, or that he brought over to us, him being from Marysville and having to do with a fig tree. But these things, they don't make any sense to you because I'm just speaking of them like this, but they make great sense. They are parts and pieces of a present day truth, hundreds of pieces, thousands of things that I understand because they are given to me to understand. And they all fit together. But I'm just covering the scope as to let you know what we're trying to say. And sure enough, here comes the Jews down. And they start wanting to know what our proposal was on that land years ago. And all this began to fit together. And then they gave to the brethren, or maybe Brother Taylor. But anyway, they gave to the brethren a box of, I think it's called matzah. Matzah, which is Passover bread that they use. Now, that seems coincidental, just like the olives coming this morning, where Jesus travailed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. But it's all in line, and especially as to Jonathan and his name going back to Lambert, and how we referred to Brother Lambert of what he has to do with, and Sister Lambert of taking the pictures where the light came at the baptism, and how Brother Taylor's over here, and then the light completely done away with the image standing there. Has great, mighty significance. And then how that later, when they drawed, or when they, I believe it was Pete, painted or drawed a picture of my wife for a poster, something was wrong as to Betty's left hand or whatever it was. And when they drawed it, they had to use a picture of Sister Lambert of taking one of her arms and using it with Sister Betty. Well, anyway, these things have great significance. You remember the vision I had where the Lord Jesus was standing there in the left hand, and how that he wanted me to show it to my wife, and my wife was asleep, and I was afraid I couldn't get her awake. And it was so fantastically beautiful, like diamonds and pearls and rubies all interwoven together to make up that hand. And finally I shook my wife, and she saw it, and she raised up so quick, and she grabbed that arm like this. Well, anyway, all those things fit in. Hundreds and thousands of things. There are thousands upon thousands of things of great, mighty revelation, deep mysteries, great as the mystery of godliness. And it's been given to us, and we have shared it in little pieces here, and little, like little pieces of puzzle. And one person will have a little of it. As I told my wife, another person will have a little of it, and another brother will have a little of it. And each one's got some of it, so that they're made their brother's keeper as to put it all together, like memberships of a body, to a headship of a Christ that gives these things, pardon me, to us. Well, all these things have great significance to them that we have pieced a few things together to, or the Spirit has spoken to. And then this morning, as to the garments that I'm wearing, I got up this morning. I put on the garments here that the Kuhn family had made for me. And Sister Betty put on hers that the Kuhn family had made. They made them or bought them or whatever they did. And this is really a denim sort of a thing. Never had one like it except a blue one that my daughter Dale made. Wore around Germany, around different parts of the world. But it's an overall kind of a material. Well, anyway, they made this and they gave this to us. And the name Kuhn goes back to cleanliness, like Brother Kuhn in the graves. And a lot we could say about that. We spoke of these things past that would be foreign to you that you wouldn't even understand unless we had hours to go into it, like Paul preaching all night. Then, as I did, I started to get my white belt to put it on, because I usually wear my white belt with my white clothing. And something said, this belt. And I reached and got the belt. And when I got the belt, I said, well, there ain't no buckle on this belt. And it pointed out a buckle, and I looked, and the buckle was made out of the same thing that the leather's made out of. It might have belonged to this belt. I don't know. It might have just been unsnapped. I don't know. It was laying in there, and I picked it up. And then when I picked it up, I remember that David, this come from the Clyde family as to David and his wife. They made it, and I thought that's really something, because I just had slipped off my little old boot tees that I pray in that came from the Finley family, that on the side it has the 6-point star of David on each little boot tee. And so I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to put this belt on. I put the belt on, I put the buckle on it, and I looked, and on the buckle it said, He is Lord. And on the belt, it was white and woven white and red as to the skin tone as well as the buckle. And it said, holiness unto the Lord. Whereas the priest cannot go into the presence of God as to the Old Testament teaching, neither in the New Testament, unless it's holiness unto the Lord. And so I put it on, and I started to get my white slippers. And when I started to get my white slippers, something said, put on your boots. And I thought, well, I haven't even worn them boots. And the Cornelius family had given me a beautiful pair of boots. They're white and they're just beautiful. And I thought, well, I never have worn these boots. And somebody said, put those boots on. They're Weston boots. And of course, they're from the West. The Coons are from the West. And on and on and on. And then I reached to get my hat. And when I did, I got one. And Sister Betty said, well, there's a white one over there. This one's not white. And it was white, but it's kind of an off-white. I said, well, okay. So I reached and got it. It's pretty white. And this come from Brother Roger of the Duke family. And then Betty brought me some new socks I'd not worn. And I got to thinking, I thought, well, I never wore the suit. It's been around here for a number of days. Everything that I had, I don't remember wearing it, you know, or having it on, and everything was there and just ready for me this morning. So I put it on, and then here I come. See, and it had great significance, all of it pointing back to the West. Whereas I don't know that I've ever dressed out in Weston. I looked at my shirt, and this was something that Cynthia had given me. And she had given me some shirts from the Weston store, and this is something that she had given me. Well, anyway, I got it all together, and then it dawned on me. I thought, well, you know, I'm pretty well-dressed Weston, all the way from my head down to my feet. And then the Lord dealt with me as to what it had. And see, this is the Western world. What it had to do with, this is the Western world. There is the Eastern world. This is the Western world. And the Western world has to do with the woman. It has to do with the body, resurrection, and redemption. And has to do with after the purifying, as returning to her companion, as to the King of Righteousness. And on we could go in these things of revelational types and shadows this morning. Paul said in the things of the Old Testament, being a type, being a symbol. And I really didn't know what he was talking about until I had gotten into God for a number of years. And then suddenly I realized that him going into the revelation as to be the one to go after the bride with the revelation, because he was the only one that had been given to and then conveyed on over to John. And we brought it out how it was conveyed over the other night. See, and there it was, Paul, the revelation, and not Paul living, but Christ. For Christ is the revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus Christ. So then I thought, and here we are with the revelation as to the membership. And at the time of the revelation, the Bible said, and the time is at hand. And so then here we are this morning, it's to the resurrection. The time is at hand. And I thought over all these things, and I thought, now God, this that Paul was speaking of when he said Abraham, name changed from Abram to Abraham, the father of the faithful. And I thought that was Abraham that come, as to the Jew. He come down here, and the tree that fell across the way there, and all of it fit together, so beautiful, of the Highway 78 that's called the Snake of the Killer, and that thing of the tree and Calvary and those different kind of things, and our people being involved. And then I thought the Jews, full-blooded Jews, them going through the Holocaust and the Dark Ages, and all of a sudden, here they come over here, as we said it would be, as to the redemption of the body and the land over there. And we spoke of the seven and the 483, which you don't understand, as to the partials, as to the dividing asunder at Calvary of the Jewish partial and the Jewish partial as to the last 7 years and the first 483 years to Calvary, all having to do with Jewish descent. Well, anyway, there was Abraham. And Abraham really favors us over here. We've had good dealings with him, and he just loves this place over here. And there was his brother. And here are the Jews giving us Passover bread, which I have it down there now. And Sister Betty, before we left this morning, I broke off a corner on each corner of one piece of it. Sister Betty took a piece, and I took a piece, and we ate it and prayed over it because it had great significance. See, and things like that don't just happen. We say coincident. It's the divine providence of God. And the brethren was having some kind of dispute here over the Mercedes, the Lincoln, and the Lexus, and a number of things that had to do with the dispute over the body. It was so beautiful, all those things. You know, when you walk in heaven and you stay in heaven, and like there in the vision when I saw that I was in heaven, suspended between heaven and earth, and there I saw those great mighty things in heaven, that the entire heavens was covered with these things, and I was trying to get the people to see them. And I said, oh, can't you see these beautiful things? And like Johnny saw, where I was lifted up in heaven, and I was like a doorway that you could go through. Where's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the door that was open in heaven? We preached on this the other night a little bit. But I'm just saying these things by way of remembrance to some of you because of the significance of this morning, of what it had to do with being up in Marysville. Take hours and hours to go into this. And some of you that come in visiting today, you wouldn't understand what I'm saying, but it's on tape. There's hundreds of tape, maybe 1,000 or so tape, where it has bits and pieces of different things. And with all this put together this morning, I thought, Lord, this is fantastic. Here come the Jews down in a white Mercedes of what they were talking about over there as to the dispute. And all of these things fitting together. And I thought, and here the Jews were blinded to these things. They had all these things, but had them in symbols and had them in types. And when Paul referred back to Abraham, he referred to him as the father, typical of God. And then when he referred to New Jerusalem, he referred to it as Sarah. Sarah. And I thought, what are you talking about, Paul, in my early ministry? What are you talking about a woman, Sarah, being New Jerusalem, the mother of us all? I thought, that don't make no kind of sense to me. A woman, New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. But when I went into the revelation of Christ, I saw that people have great significance as individuals, and that places have great significance, and that there was a complete work from the time that Adam fell from the garden over to Calvary, a complete work that took thousands of years to be put together. And Jesus was to fulfill it all as the capstone it, and the Jews missed it and rejected the Messiah. And their coming in to the glory of God was deferred all the way down through the church ages. And they would not accept the Messiah until 7 years just before the millennium, or the middle of that last week of Daniel, and then Jesus comes and they accept the Messiah, and it relates all the way back to the 483 years as the seven coming back together to close the door that's open in heaven as to the church ages, and them accepting the Messiah as to the capstone finished all of the work that Moses had done and that the church had done as to the church in the wilderness, the Jews, coming to the capstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, it was our moment of privilege, because Christ, the spiritual head, come to the spiritual Israelite, which is the church, and capstoned it, and heaven was open. And Peter opened that door, which was Jesus. He said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. And the 483 separated from the seven, and 483 to Calvary, and seven over here, 490 years determined upon thy people, Daniel, to make a fool in the Jews. And sure enough, here we are finding ourselves, those that are not in the flesh, chosen out of the flesh, the kingdom of God coming at Calvary. The law and the prophets gone since that time. The kingdom is preached. Men press their way into the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And sure enough, here we are sitting together in heavenly places. Or that is to say, ye are not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. And that is to say, it's to the end of the church ages. And here, the doors open in heaven, and the church goes up. So these things, which I didn't intend to get into these things. I was just going to say a few little things here. But the hunger of the heart causes me to get into these, or cause God to speak from me. So then great mighty significance, it would have to take a lot of time to break these things down. Great mighty significance. As to that veil, Paul was looking beyond the veil. The Jews was looking at the veil because it was between Moses and them. And Moses being as to Christ and the God of that hour, and as to the veil being the body of the Lord Jesus, and Christ, the Shekinah image of God, veiled off from human view by that body. And then at Calvary, he rent that veil. And today, that middle wall of partition of the body of this death as to the interwoven iniquity has been taken away, delivered for our offenses, made our sin, that we might be made the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the new body raised for justification. And so then the body is gone. The beast's body is gone. The image of the bastard child is gone. This unbecoming thing that God despises when you come to the light. I'll despise that image in the morning. It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. We're not beasts. We're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. And we are the children of the light and the children of the resurrection as to the new image that he come up in, and that he was delivered to death in the form of a servant as to this servant. And then raised again in the form of the light as to what Adam was before he fell, when he was called the Son of God. As to that wonderful day star light of the understanding that's on the inside of us, that's breaking forth as heavenly treasure to be made manifest in the bodily genes of this vessel to change us into that immortal one that we are as sons of God, even gods, as membership of the body, to rule and reign forever. So I said all of those things, the resurrection, having to do this with the resurrection this morning. If you've repented of your sins and you've been buried with Christ in baptism in his name, then are ye resurrected in the newness of life and receive the great Holy Spirit of the Spirit of Christ, which is life eternal, that comes into your body, comes into your life, and you are alive forever because you pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. That is to say, it's not you living but Christ. And now your body is Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father, even the head that'll pick up its members when it comes, as to this bone and flesh. And that is your righteousness. And now your life is Christ Jesus, for your life, as to your spirit, is hid in the Spirit of Christ to the interwoven translation into the kingdom of God, which is this Christ spirit, that you are eternal and spotless as to your inner man, which dwells in the spirit as in heaven. Being as angels, we are all as angels in heaven. That is in the spirit. For heaven is the spirit. People that are not spiritual don't understand. Paul, the great revelator, which was to come to the Gentile church for a bride, even our overseer, he said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For God is a spirit, and we must worship him, as Jesus said to the woman at the well, in spirit and in truth. But we're naturally carnal, always in the human senses, as to the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world, of these five human senses, of the exhilaration of passions and whatever it might be. But anyway, we are the children of the resurrection. And though you might be just a babe as to birth, you're growing on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So let it have its free, full work within you, that you might be complete, the full measure, the full stature, the full reward. So we see here then that there are things that's happening all around us. Hundreds and thousands of things. And the people around Monroe, they don't know nothing about it. They're fighting. Just fighting like little Brother Branham said, is concerned the little sparrows that tried to put out the light when he saw this at the Statue of Liberty. Trying to get through that glass to put that light out and beating their little brains out. And they were bloody. Their little wings were bloody and they finally killed themselves. Numbers of them. He said if they'd have just not done that. See, as to the light is radiating and it's coming from the great liberties of God, even the liberties of the sons of God. And like in Monroe, not try to put it out and bring a tornado, bring sorrow, bring heartaches, but intellectually puffed up by their studies and by their knowledge of the natural and looking to the vain things of the world as to wealth, which really isn't wealth at all. It's just vanity. And Paul said, barely elements, when you get caught up into heaven like he did and see the revelational things of God, the great treasures of heaven. He said this down here, though God has made it, allowed the devil to have control of it. He said, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's beggarly elements. And you're just entangled in a web in your mind. The old veil of death that fell over the mind of Eve. And that veil continued like it's over Moses' face until Calvary. And in that veil, as Paul said, looking beyond that being Christ, he saw the revelation beyond the veil, through the rent veil, and saw that God had taken all of our iniquity away. And saw this great, wonderful thing that has been made an expose as to the church ages through the rent veil. And then this beautiful thing that Paul saw became the church ages as to the seven messengers. And we could say much about this, and much is on tape that we've said about it, and a little part. So we know in part till that which is perfect is come. So then, through the church ages, he that walks in the light, he that understands, he gets this wonderful Christ as to the revelation. And he hath resurrected from the dead. He once was dead, as in a bodily grave in the dust. But the heart of stone I'll take out. I'll place within you a heart of flesh as to the body of the Lord Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I'll write my laws upon the table of your heart. You'll be an epistle known and read of all men. And my love will constrain you that we are resurrected from the dead. Though we once were dead in trespasses and sin through the fall of Adam as to the first man. But we're not carnally minded anymore. For to be carnally minded is to the tree of knowledge, the veil that came over the mind of Eve as to the woman having to wear that veil to show it be when she comes to her husband as to shamefacedness because of her fall and she's not in the likeness of him. So there's a veil that he can't see any features as to the old country. See, but when you come into the secret chambers, when you get into the revelation, the Bible said he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High, if he dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he'll abide in the shadow of Almighty. Or if he's under the shadow of Almighty, he'll dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the Bible said the mysteries of God will be finished as to the sounding of the last trump, or the secrets of God, as to that which is to be made known. So she wears the veil, and the Bible said, let your wives be shamefaced as to this veil of shamefacedness. Let your men be grave as having died at Calvary, as not to have. The infatuations of the flesh or this interwovenness of the giggle and drawing together with admiration and conversation of man and woman, because that's adultery. And your spirits are mating together all the time. And you go away feeling all right about it, religious or whatever. But you are an adulterer. And in the day of judgment, it will be made known that this is an adulterous generation, not as just to the practice of the misdemeanors of that which is union with man and woman, but as to the eyes of lust. The world will pass away. The lust will pass away. All that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And all of this passes away. And Satan, the god of this world, that's disputing over the body, that took the body through this veil of ignorance, that veil which has been taken away, rent as to your spirit separating from your body. Now you don't have that veil of that intellectual carnal mind of death. You have the mind of Christ. And that is the word of spirit and life. And to be spiritual minded, that's life. That's peace. That's life. That's eternal life. I tell you again, beloved friend, you're not waiting to get to the judgment to have the pros and cons to be weighed to say, well, this much good or this much bad, and I'll get eternal life or I won't. It doesn't work like that. The judgment will have nothing at all to do with that. Life, as to whether you're going to get eternal life or whether you're going to find death as to the judgment, is right here this morning. And when the minister comes forth, if he's a true minister, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. You bless it, it'll be blessed. You curse it, it'll be cursed. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So then at the house of God, which is the church, judgment begins. And according to your faith, as not me speaking, but Christ speaking within me, God remits your sins or retains your sin. All of you that stay away from church, all of you that do the things of the world, see, you come to church at certain times, that's a testimony against you. You hear the gospel, you talk about the gospel, that's a testimony against you. If you're not born again as to the spirit on the inside, you're just an intellectual thing of just much knowledge puffed up vainly by your fleshly mind, and you've never had that new birth as to that Christ on the inside of it. And so then this Christ is not learning. It is not things of the world. It is a revelation. It is revealed to you. You don't learn this. You can't study the Bible. You can't study books. You can't study anything. And get this, there's nowhere in the world to be found. It's nowhere in a human being to be found. It's in the Spirit. It's in Christ. And the Bible said this thing is high above your understanding than the heavens is the earth. And yet babes that don't know nothing as to the world, they're babes, they're ignorant, they don't study, they don't learn, they don't have diplomacies, and yet it's made revelation unto them. The others that study the Bible, study books, go to college, seminary, Brother Taylor, for a number of years, he can tell you they didn't have it. That's why he left college. See, you can't get it like that. But it is true. It is the resurrection. And when the veil is taken away, as to Paul bringing the revelation for the bride, not them that have quotes and know the Bible and all these kind of things that has nothing to do with it. That doesn't make a bride. See, a woman say, hey, I'll marry you. So what? Prostitutes do it all the time. The Bible said seven women after one man because of the condition of their lives, just trying to find a livelihood or somebody to take away their reproach. See, as in the day we're living in, showing the churches as in this time. See, but God's got a bride. He's got a bride, and that man keeps waiting till he can find the virtuous woman. Her price is far beyond that of rubies. He doesn't just want anything, a fly by night. See, he wants something that's pure, something to be holy, because if she's a harlot to begin with, she'll be a harlot after he marries her. And he that's joined to a harlot is one flesh. So he's looking for somebody that's holy. Now, there might have been a harlot, and she might have been converted and give her heart to God and purified. That's a different situation. She's holy. She's godly. And she's free from that old body. It's crucified. It's dead. It's gone. It's despised. It's rejected her past everything. But see, I'm speaking of it like this, that we are not a harlot to give ourselves to the intellectual studies as to knowledge and to learn those things, to be vainly puffed up by a fleshly mind, to want to lord over God's heritage, or to try to make money or be something outstanding so that the world would look at us or get lots of goods in the world, you know, to where we can feel like we're something when we're nothing. All of that's garbage, and it'll be burned. It's the beggarly element. Well, anyway, I said all of that to say this. When the veil of death is gone and the old college is no more, and they're taken out of Egypt as it was with the children of Israel on their way to Canaan, no more schools, no more colleges, no more nothing. And they have to follow God every day. They can't even rely on the strength of making their own living. Seek the kingdom first. All of these things will be added. And then as through the wilderness, wandering as it's been, God fed them, took care of them. No industries, no colleges, no school, no hospitals, no nothing. Just complete faith and trust in God. See, when the people come to this, as to the Canaan land experience, crossing over the Jordan, going in to get the new harvest, which again this has to do as to the Western where it's today, and of this that come from those people that are Westerner, having to do with Brother Branham also. A lot could be said about that. We spoke of it as to what it had to do with marriage. But the thing is, here we are, the fortunate ones. We've come into the secret chambers, and now the veil of that intellectual death has vanished away. Because he said, I will eradicate with the brightness of my coming. That is when this Christ begins to reveal himself as the headship to the Israelite, the spiritual Israelite, the true Jew. And when this is finished, the church is thus sealed in. And this thing happens, and we're ready for the change, and immediately the change of the body, and then Jesus appears to the Jews as with the outstretched hands in heaven. He comes back as the natural, as it would be body, and that Christ is to the spiritual. It hath appeared, it has perfected us inwardly. He's already there with us and moved on to the full ultimatum. So as the heavens up here roll back, as to great clouds of witnesses in the physical, the body rolls back as the old veil of the intellectual, and there is Christ within the midst of this great cloud of witnesses as to them that witness for him. For ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And the death veil is gone. The old carnal death veil of intellectual darkness is gone. And that's where we're at today. And mine, when we get to that point right there, could say so many multiplied things as concerning today, little Bethlehem, the people around the world, and Brother Branham and the followers, and my own and on and on as the church and the Jews. Let's everybody stand together. We just brought these few little things to you this morning. Easter, the eggs have to do with the resurrection and pecking your way out of the shell. I would have gathered thee as a hen with her brood, Jesus said to the Jews, but ye would not. Now your houses are left unto you desolate, until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then, when it comes to the rabbit, it is a strange thing about the rabbit. As to the rabbit, when it comes to the rabbit, I said to the Lord, I said, what in the world does eggs have to do with as to Easter? And then he let me know as to the resurrection, the breaking forth of the grave. I said, well, if that be true, then what does rabbits have to do with? I said, it's for sure that I don't understand what rabbits have to do with when it comes to the resurrection and how they're connected with eggs. And then the Lord said to me, remember the little saying, quick like a rabbit. You ever heard that little saying? He said it has to do with the quickening. The rabbit is sitting here, and I remember as a boy, you go hunt for a rabbit, and if he catches you just like that, he's gone. And quick like a rabbit, the quickening and the dead, the resurrection. And he began to explain to me these little things of what they have to do with, the little fables of what they have to do with, what God is doing. And oh, it's so beautiful when you are made to understand all things. See, we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things, because it is not us but Christ living, and from Christ emanated all things. So we understand through him all things. I can do nothing of myself, but through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. I have and own nothing of myself, but according to the Bible, I am the owner of all things. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, because I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. And he said, all power in heaven and earth is mine. He said that at the resurrection. When he gathered them together and said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with a new tongue, take up serpents, or tread on serpents, whatever. These things won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Let's sing a little chorus together. I'd like to say that I'm glad to have all of you here this morning. We're always thankful to have you come out and be with us. I noticed that the new parking lot, that they made good use of it this morning. It's the end time. People everywhere are being stirred. They're really being torn up. And they're seeking God. And they begin to look for God. And, you know, the Bible said, seek me early and you will find me. But if you wait too late to seek God, though you get religious, though you go to church, you won't find it because the church has been sealed in. See, and it was as to Pharaoh and his people. The church had already gone. It had already got across the Red Sea. And Pharaoh, they saw it a little too late. And they decided to follow after. Only just in time to get right in the middle of the stream. And it wasn't a way over anymore. Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the way. The veil of that water that represented the blood is to the opening, even as the waters of Jordan. All of a sudden, the waters of the Red Sea came back, and there was no rent veil. There was no door open in heaven. The days, as we say, the Gentiles being over, and they run right into the judgments of Almighty God, being guilty of the blood. And if you're not careful, that's what you'll do, because that's what the world is beginning to do. They're beginning to believe, like Thomas. I'll believe. Though they were he was just as religious as the other. He knew it. He saw these things. But when it came to dying and being resurrected, he couldn't accept that. But said, when I can thrust my hand into the wound of the side and into the nail prints, then I'll believe. And when Jesus came up out of the grave, he came over. He said, Thomas, thrust your hand into the wound and into the nail prints. Following that symbol of the Jews, they didn't believe. But they'll say, where did you get the nails? He'll say, in the house of my friends. In the house of my friends. That shall be your enemy, even them of your own household. You got to get away from them and you got to forsake them. Don't try to please the relatives. Stay away from them. Get thee out of the land of thy kindred, especially as they say, and separate from the flesh and be a new creature. Let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my precious Savior. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail o'er of seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bout over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Can you sing it with me? Every hour I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how turn him away. So don't turn him away. Come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. Gone, and the stone is rolled back on, and the tomb is empty gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, he's alive forever. Can you sing that with me again? This now, for I'm gone, the heart of stone's been rolled back, gone, my fleshly tomb it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone, all the death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone, I'm alive forevermore. For he's gone. You know, we are alive. We once was dead in trespasses and sin, but he hath quickened us by his Spirit. And now we are alive forevermore, having resurrected from the dead to die no more. We are alive. I feel alive. Don't you feel alive? I feel alive. I feel on the inside the wonderful surging of life and the quickening. Eternal life and eternal quickening. You know, you have a quickening as to an intellectual infatuation of human senses, as to a verbal inspiration, as to those things that are in the world. They excite you. New homes and new cars and the thrills of human exhilaration. And that's a natural quickening. And that's a natural life. And that's a temporal life. But I have an interdwelling. I have an interwoven. I have an eternal quickening. And I can feel it as it surges through me, of the eternal quickening, ready to break forth, to change me completely in my outer countenance, that the light of Almighty God, even as Jesus was as he stood on the mountainside, and this light that made Moses' face to shine, and it made Stephen's face to shine. You have this, even this heavenly treasure, within your earthen vessel. It's given to you since Calvary. Do you feel it? Can you feel the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If Christ be in you, even the Spirit that raised up the body of Jesus from the dead, Christ will also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth within you. Can we sing that one more time? Sing it again like this. Oh, I'm gone. The heart of stone's been rolled back. Gone. My fleshly tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone. Oh, for death triumphed. You feel like you've triumphed over death? Do you feel like you've triumphed over death? Do you feel like you're free from death? Do you feel like you're alive forevermore? More time. So we're gone. The flesh. Gone. The tomb, it's empty. Gone. To sit at my Father's side. Over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore. I like this little song. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm a prisoner of love, the slave to my master. I willingly tore through the heat and the cold, and I seek no reward in this world below, but payday will come, it will come. When the pearly gates unfold. One more time, sing. I'm a prisoner of love, the slave to my master. I willingly toil through the heat and and I seek no reward in this world below. For payday will come when the pearly gates unfold. The things that I have and hold dear, they're just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Can you sing that with me? Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, oh Lord. Now and then, show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, oh Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the nails takes in the stand. But he walked the road to Calvary to die in my stead. So remind me, oh Lord. Sing that with me now. Roll back the curtains of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and human forget. So remind me, oh Lord. We're going to sing this one other song. I am working the road to glory, working the road to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven. The gate around us, trials of every kind. I want to keep the snares that hinder offer. My prayers make it easy for the dark behind. I keep working those roads to glory, those roads to glory. The weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above to make it easy. Sing it one more time with me. Are you working the road? The road to heaven, the straight and awesome narrow. The gate around this trials of death. Be kind. I want to smooth out the snares that hinder proper my prayers and make it easy for those. Sing with me now. I keep working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. About the roads that lead to heaven up above will make it easy. One more time. I want to smooth out the snares that hinder. Offer my prayers and make it easy. Those behind. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand. Can you lift up your hand? Song. Remember the Lord Jesus at Calvary lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The angel of Revelation. And Jesus of Calvary. And time. Yield the body, the bones, the members in particular. The revelation, the time is at hand. And yield those that understand. It's not given to the world to know, because if it was given to them to know, they'd be translated. The apostle said, why do you speak to these in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? He said, it is not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it's given. And the sounding of the last trumpet is to the angel, the mistress of God, should be finished. Who hath the power to bring the end? He does. Ye are his bone and flesh. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everything is right there. The church sealed in. Everything ready. The marriage supper. Everything ready. The wedding. Everything is ready. We're going to sing this little chorus together just before we close. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Singing. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? It's morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Singing like this now. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready. You know, last night, a lot of nights I'm praying, and last night I heard this. About 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe between 1 and 3 along there, it's after 12. But all of a sudden, I heard something the other night, and I thought, I was trying to pray, and I heard it again last night, and I thought, Lord, surely to goodness that is a rooster crowing. You know, the Bible said, whether I come at the cock crowing or whatever. And I said, that is a rooster. And I thought, well, that can't be. There ain't no rooster in this house. And I listened, and I said, well, lo and behold, it's a rooster. And I was so baffled, I didn't know what to do because the thing come out loud and clear. And I got up. I began to look around. And I'd forgotten that Sister Betty had gotten a clock or somebody had given her a clock. And it crows like a rooster. And she had set that thing in there, and over in the morning, that thing started crowing. And I thought, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know just exactly what was happening. But it really, sometimes things really stir you. Well, we're going to sing this little chorus, and we're going to close. Appreciate having you this morning, and everything has a meaning. Die. Will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory. All ye people, for his blood it's washed away. We're going to sing it again now. I'm going to ask Brother Ron Pasden if he'll come. I think about Ron and the Passover, you know. Praise the Lamb for sinners. The Bible speaks of the Ancient of Days whose hair was as white as wool. And I also think of Ron. He's just a young man, but his hair is real white. For his blood. Just one more time together as Brother Ron comes. Let's lift our hands up. Can you close your eyes? The Bible said, examine yourself, see if you've been the faith. Faith cometh by hearing of the word. And the Bible said, in the latter days, many shall depart from the word, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared, you know, because they'll do the things of the world, being religious and in hypocrisy. And their conscience will become seared, and they'll say, well, this doesn't bother me. It might bother them, but it doesn't bother me. I know the Bible said, work out your own salvation with, but it said, with fear and trembling. Come and let us reason together to work it out with the Lord. See, not just do anything or just do whatever you think and work that out and say, well, this is the way I feel. It doesn't bother me. So then many have seared to conscience. One time they had some experience with God and they had a fear of God. But listening to the winds of doctrines of the world, being blown about by those things, turning back into Egypt, into their heart, they become calloused and they have seared their conscience. And in so searing their conscience, then they've got past feeling and they can do anything now. And they still religiously have been turned over to a reprobate mind, going on to believe a lie and to be damned. For the child is known by his doings. And your faith without works is dead. If you believe in a God, it'll be shown by your works, because the Christ Spirit within you, the same yesterday, today and forever, it'll do the same thing in you that it done while it was in the body of the Lord Jesus, to be about the Father's business, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll quicken you to works of righteousness. Let's sing this together as our brother comes. So we will praise Him. We praise Him.